I'll be reading today in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. So if you want to follow along with me, open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, is where Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Now, in the previous lesson, we looked at the sins that are listed in verse 2, called lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and now we come to the sin that Paul described as disobedient to parents. This expression is used 2 times in the New Testament, here and in Romans 1, verse 30. And you'll find in the last 4 or 5 verses of Romans 1 a very similar list to what Paul gives here. And you'll also find that some of the words and expressions that are found here are only found otherwise in the New Testament in those verses in Romans chapter 1. But let's think about the sin that Paul describes here as being disobedient to parents. This is not an innocent, harmless thing. Just look at the things that Paul mentions alongside of this sin, here and in Romans chapter 1. So when you think about people being blasphemers, when you think about people being despisers of those that are good, when you think about people being traitors, and all these other sins that Paul mentions, that lets us know how serious a sin this really is. Being disobedient to parents is a very serious thing. A person's attitude toward obeying his parents is going to determine where he will end up in life. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." If a person learns to submit to authority when he's young, he'll do well in life in many ways. And if not, he'll have trouble elsewhere in life. Many of the problems that we face in our world today come from the home. Children are either not taught to mind, or they refuse to obey their parents, or both. And if a young person doesn't learn to respect and submit to authority when he's growing up, it's going to be very hard for him to respect authority anywhere. And he'll have trouble wherever he goes. He'll have trouble obeying the rules at school, or at work, in society, or in the church. Being disobedient to parents is a heinous sin in God's sight. The next one is being unthankful. This is another sin that might surprise some people, and it is a sin. It's not just some kind of innocent flaw. It's not a harmless habit. It is a sin. How bad is it? Well, just look at what else is mentioned alongside of being unthankful here. When you think about people that are unthankful, we may just look at that as some kind of character weakness or character flaw. But the Bible shows that ingratitude is underneath many other sins that people commit. For instance, in that famous passage in Romans 1 that we've mentioned, in Romans 1, verse 21, after that Paul said that nature itself declares the existence of God and there's no excuse for a man not believing in God, he says in Romans 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." Now, from that point, you begin to see what happens when men do not glorify, that is, they do not recognize God, and they're not thankful to God for what he gives to them. After Romans 1:21 says that these people were not thankful, it immediately says that they plunged into idolatry, homosexuality, and all kinds of sins. Now, the bottom line is this. When a man is unthankful, he's capable of just about anything because he takes things for granted and he is not humble in the sight of God. This is a very common sin, and we see it in the New Testament many times. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, we find that Jesus healed 10 lepers. He gave them relief from this terrible disease that they'd had. And yet, although he cleansed, he healed 10 lepers, only one returned to thank him. 90% of the people didn't even bother to thank Jesus for being healed. The next sin that he mentions in verse 2 is being unholy. This word is used only here and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It refers to an impious man, a wicked man. These are people who have no love or fear of God. They're like the people in Romans 3, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no interest in spiritual things, and they have no regard or compassion for other people. In verse 3, Paul continues the list. And this time he begins in verse 3 with the sin of being without natural affection. The New King James Version simply has unloving. This is too general a translation, because this word that is used only two times in the New Testament, and it's used here and in Romans 1 verse 31, without natural affection, comes from one word in the Greek. This is a word that refers specifically to a certain kind of love, and that is a love of kin. It refers to the natural feeling that we have for our own flesh and blood. This is a strong, immediate feeling that drives a mother to almost sense that her baby needs her in the middle of the night. It's that feeling, that strong, powerful emotion, that drives a father to rush into a burning building to save his child. This is natural. This is how God made us. And given how strong this feeling is, and that God instilled this affection in us, what does all this say about a person who does not have natural affection? Even animals take care of their offspring, but they're human beings that the Bible describes as being without this natural affection. They don't even have this natural affection for their own flesh and blood. This is how bad this sin is. This is the kind of condition that Paul is describing here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The next sin that he lists is being a truce breaker. This word, again, is used only here and in Romans 1 verse 31. The New King James Version translates this unforgiving, but that's not quite the idea. A truce breaker is one that cannot be persuaded to enter into a covenant. This is a person that will not have peace. Even if he agrees to a matter, he'll go back on what he said. These are people who cannot be trusted. These are people who do not want peace. They don't want to get along, and they do anything to sow discord and to cause a stir. These are truce breakers. The next sin that he mentions is the sin of being a false accuser or a slanderer. The interesting thing about this word is that the word that is translated devil in the New Testament is the same word that is translated false accusers here or slanderer. Why? Well, that's what the Bible says the devil does. The devil slanders. In Genesis chapter 3, he's slandering God. In Job chapter 1, he's slandering man. In Matthew chapter 4, again, he is falsely accusing. He is lying. So when the Bible talks about some being false accusers, that simply means that these people are like Satan himself. Exodus 20 verse 16 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And that passage says it well. The next word in this list, in verse 3, is the word incontinent. Now, the New King James translates that well and very accurately because it gives the translation without self-control. These people exert no control over their thoughts, their tongue, or their actions. These are rash people. They're impulsive people. They don't think before they act. They just do whatever they feel like doing. without considering whether they should do it or not, without considering the consequences, and even after they've made a mistake, they don't want to change. So if they get mad, they strike out. If they're afraid, they run. If they want something, they do it. They're guided solely by their lusts. That's what the Bible means when it talks about people who are incontinent or without self-control. The next word is related to this, and that is the word fierce. This means not tame, savage, fierce. The New King James Version renders this brutal. These people have no compassion for other people. They have no remorse when they hurt other people. They will not only lie and steal, but they will injure, they will hurt, they will torture, they will murder without a guilty feeling. And our jails today are full of people like this. And then Paul mentions despisers of those that are good. They're not neutral. They're not okay with good people. They hate, they despise good people. And they only tolerate good people when they have to. But when it's in their power, when they can, they will abuse or they will persecute good people. Why? Because those good people are good. That's the reason. It's not because those good people have done anything to them whatsoever. They're people who hate the Bible, who hate God, and hate Christian people so much that the very sight of a Christian person angers them. That the very sight of a child of God causes them to want to abuse that individual. Then in verse 4, he continues this list with the word traitors. The word traitor here is from the same word that we find used to describe Judas Iscariot in Luke 6, verse 16. These are people who deceive and betray others for their own selfish gain. And our world is full of these people as well. It seems many times today that there is little loyalty anymore. Children betray their parents. Husbands betray their wives, and wives betray their husbands. Friends despise or betray their best friends. Neighbors betray their neighbors. How sad that is. The next word is heady, and that means headstrong. It means a rash, reckless person. A person who has no regard for consequences, especially the consequences of sin. And again, this obviously overlaps with the word incontinent or without self-control. The Bible says that a wise man will look ahead. In Proverbs 14, verse 16, the Bible says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Now that is a headstrong or a rash, reckless person. And then we have the word high-minded, a prideful person. And this obviously overlaps with the word proud in verse 2. Perhaps this is a step further and refers to somebody who is blinded by pride. Their pride has thoroughly hardened their heart. And then, in the last part of verse 4, he talks about those who are lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, and how well this describes many people today. Most people love the pleasures of the world instead of God, and even those who say that they believe in God are often guilty. The Bible talks about some who are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Luke 8, verse 13. The world has a lot of fun and excitement and pleasure to offer. And this is why the Bible warns Christians, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17.